Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is produced in association with Jazz Times. Singer-songwriter activist Ani DeFranco feels her songs reflect the connection of her personal life with what's going on in the world around her. As Ani was coming out of years of dealing with marital problems, she saw the same problems throughout the country. People suffering from a breakdown of communication, loss of empathy and connection. Her latest CD, Revolutionary Love, addresses these issues and challenges the listener, as she puts it, to find it within ourselves to stay curious about our opponents instead of shutting down. Ani has collaborated with everyone from Maceo Parker to Prince and is also a passionate jazz fan. She brings all these influences together in Revolutionary Love, as well as appealing to our better selves. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I asked Ani how she balances an intense awareness of the problems in the world without having it all overwhelm her.
You know what's funny? Just before our little conversation, I was Zooming with my shrink and telling him, how am I going to keep doing this? The more I set myself up, you know, the more I expect from myself and try to do, the more the weight of the pressure and the expectation and the judgment. And, you know, if I just didn't try to do any of this stuff, I wouldn't have to fail so much. I just want to be a gardener or a bank teller or something. What? I can't, you know, it's, I guess what I'm saying is I'm wondering myself these days. I think this last year with the direct positive feedback loop gone between me and the audience, between me and the world, between the world and the world, it's become harder. It's become harder because I feel like all the beautiful life-affirming stuff about my job that balanced out what you're getting at and asking about has evaporated, and I'm left with just a feeling of being on display, just a feeling of never being good enough with whatever my mission is or my point is, and I can never say it right enough, and I can never do enough or be accountable enough or please enough people. Or I feel like the pressure is all there, and yet that the release, those moments of release that come from playing music, you know, and playing music with and for people that sort of makes it all strike that balance and feel doable. Those have dried up and I feel a bit lost.
The reason I was asking you about this specifically is because when you are so engaged and care, you then become knowledgeable, more knowledgeable in a deep way about what's going on. You keep up with those things and what that all means. And it's a lot harder to stay hopeful and positive because you know more. If you're oblivious, it's that ignorance is bliss. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important what you just said about the release of it, because I know people have said to me a lot, they go, oh, you must miss the energy of the audience. They have a fantasy about this that to me speaks to a certain narcissism that entertainers just go out and they love it, the big stadium kind of thing. They're not understanding that that's the fun bit. Everything else we're doing is leading to that, which
and
is necessary.
And how unfun the rest can be. Yeah. And I also, I feel, you know, I've had to check in a lot because of this virtual performing and live streaming and all of, and feeling it's sort of soul sucking and thinking, okay, so do I just do it for applause or do I crave adulation or something? Like what, why is this so hard? But I think for me, I hope And I think it's true that it's not so much the adulation that feeds me, it's the connection. It's that moment when I am no longer alone. I am so connected, either with my band members or with the audience member, with others. And so, yeah, without that, it's like, it's that point of connection is broken. And now, yeah, it's just this mountain of things I am hoping to be accountable to, hoping to make better. Like you say, you scratch the surface of this society and its diseases, and you just find more and more sickness. And the more you try to be accountable to it, you know, you can never do it all right, you know, and the more you sign up for, you know, you sign up to enlist, and then you never do a good enough job, you know. So it becomes, and certainly in this culture where, you know, we sort of don't cut each other too much slack in general. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed. Like, I released a record called The Prison Music Project last spring, and it's all songs written by incarcerated men, and but then embodied by a lot of female singers, a lot of different musicians, producers. Many, many humans came into this project and gave it life. And it's part of my ongoing, you know, becoming aware of the criminal injustice system and how broken it is, how unfair it is for so many, and trying to, you know, this album is merely trying to communicate the humanity, you know, of these 2 million people that live in cages in America. But of course, I've never been incarcerated, and I am a relatively privileged person with a privileged life. So I can never say it all right and do it all right. And as much as I'm trying to amplify somebody else's voice, I could get in the way. I could, you know, and the level to which, you know, you make yourself, you know, I am held to account, you know, as I try to be present in these, making good change. I'm feeling the weight of it these days, again, without that counterbalance of the gig.
No, but it's really true. It's funny because I was thinking about, knowing I was going to be talking to you, I never post anything political. Mm. I certainly talk about it away from my professional media and all of that. But I went ahead and posted a very positive, after the election, I think we're going forward. And it was all just positive. It didn't say who mm-hmm. you voted for, anything like that. And the immediate reaction were people very positive. Thank you for that. So well said. But then some people went crazy. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I wound up deleting it. This positive kumbaya, you know. And then I thought about you and how much you expose yourself to that, and how people, I don't know, I've certainly been in a place of just putting my hand up to people and saying, just give it a rest for a minute. Mm-hmm. Let's try to at least be optimistic as we go forward. But it is, I think that I've had a number of people ask me when I say, well, I'm not working, and they'll say, well, yeah, but aren't you doing online things? And that's why it's important to have this conversation, because I don't think that a lot of our audiences know that how different that is.
Yeah.
That broadcasting from your living room is a very different, quote, connection mm-hmm. than it is when you walk on stage and you have your musicians next to you. Mm-hmm. And that something magical does happen.
Yeah, and an audience to dialogue with. It's a dialogue. Music is not the online thing is just a one-way street. All you can, and I'm trying to be positive about it, Judy. I really am. Like, it's a gift. It's music as a gift. It's not an exchange. It's not a conversation in this medium. It's just a gift given. You don't see the person. You don't know if it fits them. You don't know if it's their favorite color. Nothing. But you just send it off.
I will tend my anger. And I will try, try to understand. And if you give me your story, I will hold it in my hands. Yeah, I will bring the light.
My guest, Ani DeFranco, from her new CD, Revolutionary Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
We'll talk about this wonderful CD because you really address all the things we're talking about with that and this very thing of how you stay positive. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to quote you to you because I read something that I really, just the way you said it, it was... It's about finding it within ourselves to stay curious about our opponents instead of shutting down. That's so beautiful. It really is. And talk about that and how that inspired your writing with this, which yeah. I just thought that was great.
Yeah, thanks. That idea, that articulation of that idea comes to me from my friend Valerie Kaur, K-A-U-R. She's a activist as well and a writer and a filmmaker and... she just made a book called See No Stranger, A Memoir and Manifesto of Revolutionary Love. And she and I had become friends years ago, and she sort of helped me with the writing of my book. I put out a memoir a few years back. I engaged with her in the writing of her book and gave her feedback. And so that idea, what I love about her book is that she doesn't just talk about revolutionary love in some idealistic, high-minded way. It's a very practical. How do you do it? How do you do it every day with your near and dear and then, you know, exponentially outward? You know, how do you embody this idea of revolutionary love? And I really, that concept really rung very loudly with me, like it did with you, that the act... You know, you can often not, especially with one's opponents, you know, in this world, whether they be your spouse or, you know, the political opponent party or whatever, you know, you often can't condone their words or actions or cannot accept them, but you can try to understand them. And you can, and I think that act of staying curious about somebody's motivations and about how did they arrive at the place that they're at, the act of staying open to receive more information, not to assume, not to judge, but to continue to ask questions, it's fundamentally a show of respect, a show of love, even for those who you don't agree with. And whom you may be doing harm, you know, the to continue wondering is maybe sometimes all you can do to achieve revolutionary love when faced with your opponents. But that's a huge step, you know. So, yeah, I do. And I feel, Judy, like we all have a role to play, that is not a realistic thing to ask necessarily of everybody in every moment. Right. But myself, you know, like you said, I've spent 30 years writing hundreds of songs and making myself stronger and safer and more whole through them, and maybe also building community and lifting up my community through these songs and making us all sort of stronger and more connected, or being a part of that process, not like I'm some superhero. And so I feel after 30 years of turning this revolutionary love on myself and my community, I'm just about ready to begin to play that even trickier role that, you know, we are talking about, which is to face your opponent with revolutionary love and to continue to try to learn what you can from them. And in that mere stance of being open and asking questions, I think you yourself have provided the answer. You've provided the space for a bridge. You know, a bridge might not be built. The other person might not have brought their tools, you know, as well. So, but you have not shut down the gates, put up the wall. And that's the first step.
Do you ever just want to give up? Well, me too. Are you shocked by what people get used to? Do you wake up in a cold sweat? Well, that's same. At least you got a little brain. Foxes in the hen house and bad news every day. And right there on Pennsylvania Avenue, the sheetless KKK. And there's models wielding microphones chasing maniacs around. And everything's on fire. And there's twisters touching down.
About Do or Die. I loved this track. About this.
Yeah, well, that was sort of a rallying cry that I wrote about a year ago, the last tour I was ever on in February of last year. I really wanted, it was a poem that I was tumbling around as I was out there. And I wanted something inspirational. As I went on stage every night, something of the moment, of course, not a past song or poem, but something that spoke to the moment that could get us all feeling like the refrain in the song, we can do this if we try, if we do this like it's do or die. Thinking specifically of the upcoming election in 2020, the national elections, you know, thinking we can do this, we can overwhelm all the corruption, we can overcome all the odds if we get together and vote like it's do or die, like it's democracy counts on it, you know? So yeah, this was the poem that, and instantly when I, and the music of it, you know, my bass player and drummer, Todd Sikafoos on the bass and Terrence Higgins on drums, who's from New Orleans here. You know, sound checking is our workshop. That's our little Santa's workshop. That's where, you know, I start whipping out new stuff and go, that beat. Wait, give me that beat again. And, you know, here's my journal. And so that's sort of how that song poem thing came alive, was in sound check, on tour, just looking for, again, those points of connection where we can inspire ourselves to, you know, 2020's purpose and meet it.
When did you first feel like an activist? Were you interested in the world getting better when you were a child?
I think so.
I was. That's why I'm asking. I mean, it sounds like a crazy question, but talking to you, I'm thinking about what I wanted to do when I was younger. So talk about that. Yeah. Your first memories of sort of, how can I contribute to the world, or how can I improve it, or however it came to you? Talk about that.
Well, you know, I feel I was blessed that it came to me almost pre-memory, in that my parents felt that way. So I learned to feel that way, to feel that I was a part of something, a society, and that, you know, I mean, I talk about it in my book, but my mother She started a food co-op in our neighborhood. She was in a, she started a group called Women for Downtown in Buffalo, New York, where she was looking around at the sort of white flight and privileged people abandoning the city and the tax base to the poor and the city, you know, going downhill and becoming less habitable and safe for people who were left behind in this failing system, you know, and thinking that's bad, you know, and, you know, I mean, even the circumstance of my life, I grew up in the inner city of Buffalo. I went to public schools because my parents understood that, you know, running away from the social inequities is not enough. You know, you gotta fix this stuff because, you know, we all rise or none of us do, you know. So I feel like by the time I wrote my first songs as a young pup, I think I was 14 when I made my first song, I had all the tools I needed to be an activist. They were handed to me.
Mostly I'm afraid, never again will I know that I can trust your love as far as I can throw.
DeFranco from her new CD, Revolutionary Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Talk about Betty Carter. Mm. I'm a Betty Carter fan, oh, too. Talk about, yeah. What do you hear with Betty?
I love meeting fellow Betty Carter fans. The publisher of my memoir was a huge Betty Carter fan, saw her play live
Lovely. Every
chance he could. So that's all we talked about. We never talked about my book. And I loved it. Loved every moment. And I never saw her sing live. Never once. I don't know, maybe in my 20s, I came in contact with her recordings. And I don't know if I could explain it, Judy. You know, it's one of those things when you feel kindred with a musician or a singer and they just speak deeply to you. It was her resonating frequency, her color on the spectrum band and mine. And there was something that I recognize that in the way she expressed herself with her voice that affected the way I do. I don't think, again, because people put music in categories and boxes and they put them in different corners, I don't think that many people have noticed the Betty Carter in me. But one time I was standing side stage, my friend Maceo Parker, the wonderful jazz saxophonist, funk, you know, titan, was on stage. And his guitar player is standing next to me, Bruno, an amazing guitar player, and played with Betty Carter for years. And he said to me, "You listen to Betty Carter?" I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you." I sure do.
This isn't sometimes. This is always. This isn't maybe. This is always. Yes, it's love. The real beginning of. This isn't just midsummer madness, a passing glow, a moment's gladness. This is love, a new it all.
Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970. On the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on all the usual podcast platforms and email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Stride Queen. Although we broadcast on NPR stations, we're an independent production not funded by NPR. We're funded primarily by your donations. So please visit jazzinspired.com to chip in. No gift is too small. And please tell your friends about Jazz Inspired and help us spread the word. My guest today is singer-songwriter-activist Ani DeFranco. Now, I'm looking at your beautiful home because I feel like I'm there with you. And what has New Orleans done for you? I mean, it's such a... It's a city with a presence, and does different things for different people. And people know kind of, they think they know the New Orleans experience, but it's different depending on what you bring to it. So talk about what it's done for you personally, but also musically.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when I arrived in New Orleans, I guess it's been about 16 years or so that I've been living here. So a few years before that, I came and played my first jazz fest, and it, boom. I mean, I realized this is where I I mean, I didn't immediately move here. I just started hanging out here in between tours because that was my only life. Not on the road, I began to spend here. And then that sort of oozed into being a local. And yeah, I feel like this, my turning up in New Orleans represents sort of the next chapter of my life. You know, it's a new beginning for me in every way. I mean, I met my partner here. He's a native. And so that's an obvious change, huge seismic change, but also just entering this musical community. You know, I've done so sort of slowly and sneakily. You know, it was a lot of years before people would say, oh, you live here? You know, and so, but more and more, you know, you show up for things in your musical community, for people, for events, for causes. And the more deeply involved I become, you know, the more nourishment, you know, New Orleans, which is just abounds with culture and spirit and, you know, nourishment for our souls, as so many of us recognize and tap into, you know, I wake up to that every day now for 16 years. And so it's amazing. It's amazing to have world-class musicians in a local call, you know, when I need an organ or a piano or a something. It's amazing to, I feel like just even my biorhythm came down a notch when I really landed in New Orleans. You know, I was a East Coaster, I was Buffalo, and then I was New York City, and I was a fast walker and a fast talker and had a lot to do. And then I got down here and I started to recognize there was more to life, you know.
Oh, that's nice. That's really interesting.
And, you know, are talking about that connection that you can make through music. I feel like when I arrived in New Orleans, there was just more of that everywhere all the time. That even just meeting eyes with people that you pass on the street in the French Quarter, or even in a busy in the CBD, you know, meeting eyes and saying, you know, y'all right? You know, hey. Whereas in New York or a faster paced, you don't even make the eye contact, you know? Yeah. So here I felt like, and then of course it's the city that alcohol is fueling at any given point. So the connections get really strong, really fast. But I love it.
Perfect.
It's a place based on connecting.
In the Southland, there's a city. Way down on the river, where the women are very pretty, and all the men deliver. They got music, it's always playing, start in the daytime, go all through the night. When you hear that music playing, hear what I'm saying, it make you feel alright. Grab somebody, come on down. Bring your paintbrush, we painting the town. Oh, that's the sweetest going round. Catch you down in New Orleans. We got magic, good and bad. Make you happy or make you real sad. Get everything you want. The sugar barons and the cotton kings. Rich people, poor people, all got dreams. Dreams do come true in New Orleans.
I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Talk about contagious.
Yeah, contagious. That was another one that I wrote a year ago on tour in February. So the pandemic had not hit our radar. It, of course, the virus was all around us. And I came home from that particular tour with a fever and very, very sick. So I feel like I was an early patient. So, yeah, I mean, for me, you know, that metaphor, really, that song from the writer's point of view, which I, you know, encourage people to abandon and have their own relationship with it, certainly. But from my point of view, it was sort of, you know, it was during impeachment trial number one for you know who. And I was just aching to see the Democratic establishment do the right action and not calculate outcomes, you know? Don't rush this because you're trying to time it with that and a this and a that and a that. No, make the person abide by the subpoena, get the information. It's public record. It's American history. All of this is very important work to do with no, as a service, as the public service that you have signed up to do, oh, congresspeople, oh, you know, and I just felt, you know, once you begin to play those games of calculation, you've abandoned your essential job, which is to do the right thing, no matter the outcome, you know? And so it's and so I'm sort of talking, you know, to maybe the Democrats in that, if during that event, I'm talking to myself, you know, as usual, it works both in all ways, you know, don't stoop to the tactics that you are subjected to. You know, the only way to stop that cycle is to rise above it, you know. But then the metaphor of disease, you know, of is just another instance in my life of sort of pre-writing things, which over the course of 30 years has happened so much, I'm over the spookiness of it. I don't even, I assume that right. Whatever comes out is going to come true. So I better make it sunny, you know.
But don't you think that if you are aware and involved, that does happen?
Oh,
because you're paying attention.
Absolutely. I don't think I'm magic or special. Well, I think it is magic. And that, yes, we all, in our subconscious or superconscious mind, know so much. And this knowledge that we have is not of time, even. You can know what hasn't happened, quote unquote, as much as you can know the past. So yes, I think, you know, when a song is really happening, when I'm in the flow, you know, and writing when it's good for me is sort of a trance-like state. You know, you sort of come to a few hours later, there's a song. The sort of memory of that time is not very lucid. And I think that flow is absolutely can be connected to a knowing beyond me, and that so many artists and humans, whatever, meditators, or maybe it's a sports person, when you get in the zone, you tap into something bigger.
They go low, you go high, you bring taking pause, not doing math, not trying to steamroll a path, not trying to calculate, manipulate the future or the past that she's gonna take. It's contagious. Just stay away. They go long, you go high.
Guest Ani DeFranco on Contagious from her new CD, Revolutionary Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. You made this CD very quickly and talked about how that was different for you. And talk about that and what that gave you in a different way and what that brought to the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, I've been recording at home in the studio you see around me for many years, and I've been lucky to do so. But there's a downside, you know, to recording at home, and that is there isn't the sort of focus and the sort of stand and deliver moment that when you've invested in a studio and you've paid a bunch of musicians and the red light goes on and, you know, the time is now, there's... I think it, for those of us that are performers, you know, it can push that button now, you know, do it now. There's, you can't do it tomorrow. So I think that has been absent in my record making for a lot of years. I could do it tomorrow, or I could do it next week, or maybe I'll do it after the kids go to bed, or before they wake up, or, you know, if the dog stops barking, I'll do a little, you know, so... I feel like I was blessed by being pushed into this new circumstance. You know, it was a great leap of faith. I went to this studio in North Carolina and worked with a bunch of people I had never met, you know. And again, investing when my income has all but stopped. You know, the pressure, like, do it now and do it right because you can't afford to do it again. And, you know, so it was... It really did, I think, turn up the heat in a way that was refreshing, you know, after all these years of recording at home. One of my favorite things to discover as my life in music gets longer is how long-term musical relationships work, much like any other long-term relationship. It gets deeper and deeper. You know, I made this record with a bunch of many people I had never met before that, or after that day that they were there with me, you know. But even to go in to play with my band, for it's different after a year, after 2 years, after 10 years. There is a musical relationship that is much more profound, you know. So, yeah, it's to go from actually musicians like Todd, who I've been playing with for, I don't know, 16 years, Terrence about 8 years now. And we're really kind of getting into that deep intuitive. We don't have to see each other. We don't have to talk to each other. We don't have to warm up over the first couple nights of tour. We could show up at a festival in the rain and boom, there it is, you know? And that's something that takes years to develop between you. So yeah, this was very much the opposite situation in a lot of ways, at least for the bed tracking of this record. Todd and Terrence, my compadres, did factor into the record in an overdubbing capacity, especially Todd, who wrote all the string arrangements, played most of the bass after the fact, after we had done the bed tracks and did the string arrangements. So he and I obviously have a huge shared vocabulary and understanding.
Ani DiFranco on Confluence from her CD, Revolutionary Love. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
So talk about this Miles Davis track. I didn't know this.
Yeah, well, I followed his music from the beginning to the end and was fascinated and incredibly inspired at many junctures along the way. I read his autobiography with my mouth hanging open. He's somebody who I offered him to you as an influence because I actually think that my melodic sense was deeply influenced by him. Again, something, you know, we hardly know as we were talking about what our own influences are. And I do feel for critics. How do you figure it out? How do you sort out people's DNA from the outside? You know, you have to take all these guesses, and sometimes you go for the obvious. So a folk singer such as myself, maybe a deep Miles Davis influence is not obvious. But and because I'm not a trained musician, I probably couldn't explain it to you. But yeah, Miles, I mean, and I picked a track from the fusion, from the let me just flip this whole script era, because I mean, that era in particular, I think not only did that also brave new sort of embarkation of his affect me and inspire me as an artist, but that transition of his affected every musician I know. And New Orleans, you know, jazz, the art form, you know, I think changed with Miles in that moment. So I feel like all the people that I play with were born on the corner, you know?
Perfect, perfect. And he gave everybody permission. That's how I've thought about it, to bring it all together, to not define it, to not put it in a box. That was that moment that it was sort of like, go for it, everybody.
And to drop that sort of the highbrow, lowbrow judgment. Actually, it's all music, and maybe I want a bass part with one note in it. Yeah, that's what I want right now, you know, to bust open that kind of hierarchy of music was so important for all of us.
So talk about the wonderful cover and why you chose it. for this CD?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I had the songs, I had the recordings, I did the music, I had the title, and I started to talk to a wonderful painter and graphic designer that I know, and he was riffing on the Revolutionary Love, and there was, he was sending me images of, you know, like revolution, you know, sort of revolution, you know, armies and hands and the flag, but there's a heart, or there, you know, like revolution, but love, but war, but not war because it's love. But, and I was looking at these sort of riffing on those words and my, and the, and I just thought, I don't know. I'm not connecting yet with any of this. And meanwhile, my friend Susan, who was my road manager of many years, who was an activist of the most tireless, almost a, you know, I have to try to get her to not be a martyr in this life. You know, she sort of sacrifices herself for others, that type of person. And she's just, but she's a wonderful, wonderful person. Also happens to be an incredible photographer. And she, at the end of her day of feeling like you can never do enough, of feeling hopeless, of feeling so beaten down, of feeling overwhelmed, she would go for walks outside in Albuquerque and go breathe the air and look up and take her photographs, often just with the phone, you know. And she was feeding me these photographs, you know, all through this, these months of the pandemic and my, you know, riding around on my horse and struggling to do my work. And every time my phone would ding and it was stars or a bolt of lightning or a rainbow or a sun, I would just, oh, I felt myself inhale and exhale and I felt better. And so I was going back and forth with this graphic designer and ding, there was another one of Susan's photographs, tiny on my phone. And the feeling that it gave me, I was like, oh, there's my album cover. This is exactly what I hope this music, this song off cycle offering can do for somebody else, is to make them inhale and exhale and feel a little bit more ready for the next day.
Mm, that's so beautiful. I just noticed that I was inhaling and exhaling.
Yay!
So even you saying that, did it? You've done it. You've done it. Another convert. It's fantastic. Oh, it's just wonderful. I love the CD. So lovely to meet you and be here
likewise.
In your beautiful house. I feel it's really been an honor. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Thanks for including me.
You've been listening to my conversation with Ani DeFranco. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another celebrated creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Hydoff. You can listen to Jazz Inspired on all the usual podcast platforms or at jazzinspired.com. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Casham on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons. Additional support is provided by Paige at 63 Main in Sag Harbor, New York, serving organic microgreens and vegetables grown on their own energy-efficient indoor and outdoor aquaponic farms. Better taste, happier planet. Visit Paige at 63 Main at opentable.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, to sign up for our email newsletter, or to find out how you can personally support Jazz Inspired, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Stride Queen. For more information, visit judycarmichael.com or jazzinspired.com.